More Idaho Matters right now. 2 years ago, the folks at the Ada Soil and Water Conservation District were worried. They were watching rampant growth and development spread across the Treasure Valley, and that growth was taking out the plants and green spaces that pollinators need to survive. Now, those bees and butterflies are what pollinate plants, including the plants that we use for food, and without them around, well, humans will be in big trouble. So they created the Treasure Valley Pollinator Project and grew 64,000 flowers and plants. And then they recruited people from all across the valley to plant those flowers and learn how to help pollinators survive and thrive. Well, it's time for year three of the Pollinator Project. And Jessica Harold, who coordinates the project, is back with us. Jessica, nice to have you on the program.
Thanks so much, Gemma. It's nice to be here.
Okay, so for folks who may not have taken part, very quickly tell us what the Pollinator Project is, and what are you hoping to do this year?
This year, our focus is on beetles and their importance as pollinators in the community. The past 2 years, we've been really focusing on the well-known bees and butterflies, and this year we want to take it a step further and talk about all of these other insects and how they're important to our community. So we are hoping that people will take it upon themselves to join us, learn more about how they can turn their garden and their natural spaces in their yard back into really critical pollinator habitat for these insects, and kind of restore what's been taken away as we have more development in the valley. It's really critical that we as homeowners are still providing these spaces and lands that all of these insects used to inhabit.
So how important are beetles to the pollinator landscape?
They're huge, and they are actually thought to be the original pollinator. There's a lot of plants, in particularly the magnolias, which are in bloom right now, that evolved with beetles as pollinators. And they also provide a bunch of other ecosystem services that are super important, like helping break down waste and plant debris and turning it back into soil that plants can then reabsorb. So they're really critical to our ecosystem as a whole, besides just their pollinator efforts.
Okay. So let me ask you this. You mentioned, you know, how the last couple of years you focused on butterflies and bees. You know, those are pretty pollinators. Beetles can be a bit tricky for folks. A lot of folks might think they're a tad icky. So how do you get folks to actually maybe not love the beetle, but at least appreciate the beetle?
I think once we start learning more about them and recognizing their super important services, we can appreciate them. I understand, you know, there's a lot of insects out there that people just don't really like. But we still need them just because they aren't beautiful or, well, I mean, I think they're beautiful in their own way, but just because they don't have that traditional beauty doesn't mean that we can't just accept them and really find the value that they do bring to us in other ways.
Okay, so talk to us about what you're calling a beetle bank. What is it? And I guess you can build your own.
Yes. So beetle banking is a restoration practice where it's providing grasses. A lot of beetles will build their nest at the base of all of these grasses that we have included in the pollinator plants. So the beetle banking is just really providing them a space to live on top of then also providing them the flowers around it that they'll that they need as well to survive.
So then what kind of plants would somebody put into a beetle bank if they are making one?
We have a fantastic grass mix. It is all sold out for the season, but we do have grasses included in our other mixes. So there's a lot of really great native grasses and other grasses that benefit the beetles. In particular, in our mix, there's blue fescue, big blue stem, cloud grass, ruby grass, and then we also have blue flax in that mix too, just for the pollination part of that flower mix, or I guess that grass mix.
So my understanding is this coming weekend is when folks can pick up their plants for this year's pollinator project. But I know you said you're out of the grasses. Do you still have plants available?
We do. We still have a ton of plants available. In the past 2 years, our regional native mix had been the most popular. So we upped our numbers and we have tons of native flowers and grasses still available in that mix. And we also have our cottage garden and our vegetable companion mix. And pre-orders are open until 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And then if we do have plants available, people will still be able to come out to the plant pickup day and purchase any plants that are available on site as well.
Okay. And then talk to us about some of the events that you have coming up in May and June, where folks can learn more about beetles and things like that.
Definitely. We have two great speakers planned for May and June. Every year, the Pollinator Project includes free classes, presentations, or workshops for people to join. So we have Jennifer Hopwood of the Xerxes Society talking to us about beetles and their habitat, and also Brad Stokes of University of Idaho Extension Office will also be presenting in particular about Idaho beetles and their role in pollination in the Treasure Valley.
Well, as always, Jessica, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this, and good luck with year three of this project.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Jessica Harold with the Ada Soil and Water Conservation District, talking about this year's Treasure Valley Pollinator Project. We will, of course, put some links to the project on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I've never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast and its latest series, Taking Cover.